All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton, and it feels so good to say it. Week one edition. Game week edition. The Bucks and the Cowboys, Sunday night football at 8:20. It starts tonight. I'm recording this on Thursday, so we got the Rams hosting the Bills tonight. Of course, college football got kicked off last weekend in earnest, and I've said this on this show many times before, but I'll say it again. It kind of worries me a little bit how much better I feel during football season, and it makes me feel like I don't have enough of a life that it being football season makes this much of a difference in my life, because I'm so much happier. I'm not even like exaggerating. Like, I'm literally a happier person starting around Labor Day weekend through October and November and December. I mean, it's just different. Like, it's just a different mindset. And I've always said that. It's not just football season. Football season's a state of mind in a way that other things are not. And you know, I love more than just one sport. I mean, I'm not just a football guy. I love baseball, love hockey, you know, love golf, love horse racing, March Madness, Triple Crown, you know, whatever you want to. I mean, there's a million things on the sports calendar that keep you going all year long, okay? And it's beautiful the way it's set up like that. But none of those things, even though I love baseball, I'm not like, oh man, it's baseball. It's baseball season. Like, you know, it feels like 90% of the time it's baseball season. Hockey season, it literally almost is 90% of the time. Football season's got like a nine month off season. Meanwhile, you've got hockey here. The Lightning just finished 20 minutes ago, and they're already getting ready for training camp again. It's like a 8 week off season. Those other sports are different. I love them all. I love them all. Okay, but there is nothing. And I mean nothing in the world like football, especially at the highest level in the National Football League. And the Bucks will kick it off for the 2022 season starting Sunday night when they go over to Dallas to play the Cowboys. Second year in a row, they will open with the Cowboys. It was on Thursday night in primetime last season as they had won the Super Bowl the year before. Of course, now they get the Sunday night nod on NBC. So we'll talk about that game on the show today. More than that, we're going to talk about, you know, every year I do this before the season starts, like the first week of the season, we go over what do we hope for. And besides the obvious stuff, we obviously hope the Bucs win the Super Bowl. But more specifically, you know, I want to talk about what is it that makes you think right now, okay, this would be a good season. I'll be happy if so-and-so happens. I'm worried XYZ may not let it happen. All those things, we're going to go over that on the show today. Talk about some other things. What questions does this 2022 team have? They look like they're pretty good. And, you know, they've been pretty good the past 2 years. Won the Super Bowl in 2020. Last season, I thought were the best team and were prepared to win the Super Bowl again. And I'll go to my grave thinking, you know, there's all these ifs and buts for every team, I suppose. But if they could have somehow avoided that whole Antonio Brown landmine, obviously the Chris Godwin injury and then Tristan Wirfs in the wild card round against the Eagles. If they have those three guys, they would have won the Super Bowl second year in a row. I can't say I know for sure because nobody does, but there's no doubt in my mind. So they've been that team, quote unquote, 2 years in a row. I still think they're one of those teams again, and we'll start gathering information on Sunday night. But this is what always happens. It's one game. So when you have nothing to go on, then someone throws you a little piece of kibble, like one little bit, then all that whole bit is your whole world, right? So we're going to go nuts next week overanalyzing what happened on Sunday night in Dallas. And you have to remember all the past seasons you've watched as a fan and how little you remember about week one, even by the time it gets to week 8 or 9 or 10, much less in the playoffs. It's a very long year. It's not as long as we'd like, but even football season with just 17 games is a long season. So we don't want to overreact one way or the other. But looking at this game, now, I'll get to the full season stuff in a minute. Just looking at the Bucks-Dallas game right now. And I was reading a little bit about the Cowboys and things like that. And obviously, we remember in the preseason when left tackle Tyron Smith went down and he's out. And overall, the Cowboys and Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott's sack rate for his career, when he's got Tyron Smith in there, is 5.3%. It goes from 5.3% to 7.1%. in the 21 games he has played historically without Tyron Smith, which is what he'll have now, not just on Sunday, but for this season. If you look at the Cowboys, and then I know they've also got a couple injury issues that I know Matt Gallup's status right now is up in question, James Washington as well, so things like that. So, I feel like the Bucks And this is going to be something that I'm going to be talking about all season long, because it really does always come down to it at the end of the day, and that's the Bucs pass rush. Now, you've got Akeem Hicks in there, who is a really good player, and he actually in the entire league last season, or excuse me, in 2020, his last full season, he was 15th overall in pass rushing efficiency, and that's for everybody. I mean, I wasn't just, you know, in the NFC or whatever, and that was all pass rushers. Even last year, he didn't play the whole season last year because he had an injury, but in 8 games last year, he had 5 sacks in those 8 games. So, you know, you've got that. You've got Joe. This is one of the other things that hasn't really been talked about much. And again, it was preseason, so you weren't going to see him a lot, but we're going to get the full 60-minute Joe Tryon-Soyinka experience, and he's in flashes and real brief ones, looks so good. And, you know, and last year he had JPP, learned from him. Now JPP's not back. It's time for JTS to kind of fully take the reins, and I'm real excited. I mean, there's a lot of things I'm looking forward to seeing on Sunday night, but one of them is that. Like, I really want to see Joe Tryon-Soyinka in his first game, truly his first game as a full-timer. You know, he flashed last year, but now it's his show, baby, and he's coming off that edge. And so I think the Bucs can make some noise in the Cowboys' backfield on Sunday night. And, you know, it's one of those things. There's a lot of things that come into play. Their defense as a whole, just looking in, some of this stuff is full-season stuff. Dallas did lead the NFL with 34 takeaways last season. We know those are random and those fluctuate from year to year, so that doesn't seem sustainable. And same thing with the Bucs. The Bucs had a decent number of takeaways last year, but nothing crazy. They didn't benefit from any sort of statistical anomaly or anything like that, where Dallas kind of did. And Dallas, I think, drops off a little bit this year defensively. And so that's one of the things we'll be watching on Sunday night. But looking at the whole season, and not just Sunday night, and we'll talk more about the game, you know, next week after they play it. But, you know, every year it's a sliding scale, right? Like, what are your hopes? What is it you want out of the 2022 season? Again, besides the obvious things that we all know. We all know they want to win the Super Bowl, of course. But when I look at this team, and we enter this season, which is probably the last one with Tom Brady as quarterback, although he's been a little non-committal talking about next season, doesn't want to answer any questions about that right now. I don't care anyway. I'm only thinking about 2022 right now. So, you know, we've got this situation, this setup, that we didn't ever really have before, and we're into the third year of it now. We're kind of getting used to it. Like, oh yeah, Tom Brady's the Bucs quarterback. But I still remember where I was when the ESPN report came down in 2020 during all that COVID. There was nothing going on. And then you got the word that, you know, this was really happening, and how dramatically it changed the franchise almost literally overnight. Like, people use the phrase changed overnight, but like, that was literally, the Bucs were not the same franchise anymore that instant. And since then, of course, we know they won a Super Bowl and got to the divisional round last year and very well could have won one again. Point being, I say this all the time, my main thing for the 2022 season, first of all, just for the actual, you know, black and white part of it, at minimum, I think they should win the NFC South. And I think every single guy in that building would tell you the same thing. But just being a part of it, just being one of those teams, being a team that's, you know, in the top 5 Super Bowl favorites, being a team that's going to play a bunch of games on national TV, being a team that's going to actually play important games in December. Like I said, it's a sliding scale. I remember as a kid growing up, if you had asked me when I was, you know, 13 years old, what did I want out of a Bucs season? I would have literally told you, I'm not even making this up, I wouldn't have even said make the playoffs, because that seemed like an impossible dream. I would have wanted them to play games not mathematically eliminated in December. Like, that's literally what I would have said, okay? And, like, I remember that actually happening for the first time, where, like, I think they were something like 6-8. They were hopelessly out of the playoff race, but they weren't technically mathematically eliminated. And I remember them talking about it on ESPN, like they were in, like, the little in the hunt, you know, like they give you the playoff picture. And there's the division leaders, the wild card teams, and then in the hunt. And the Bucs were still on that graphic just because they weren't mathematically eliminated. And my eyes got like saucers. I couldn't believe it, because I'd never seen anything like that before. So obviously things have changed. The scale slides a little bit. But I haven't forgotten that. So just mattering is so much fun for me. Like, take last season, for example. Nobody was satisfied, right, when they lost to the Rams. Like, oh, well, they gave it a good shot, good year, you know. Everybody wanted more, and it's because we know they could have won the Super Bowl. And even when you have a team that's capable of it, it's still really hard to win it because so many things have to go right. But if I look back now on that 2021 season, I do consider it a success. Got two home playoff games. I mean, what have the Bucks ever had at home playoff games? You could count them on one hand, and they got two last year. Came right down to the wire, one of the most exciting games I've ever seen against the Rams. I was there in person, down 27-3, came back to tie me. It was crazy. And the point was, not just that one game, but all the way through that year, set the franchise record for wins, was all over national TV, was division winner, NFC South, which we hope they and expect that they can do again. I mean, all these things, like I said, they're easy to get used to very quickly, even if you've never had much of them before. But it was only a little more than 2 years ago, okay? From right now, when we were sitting here as a team with hideous uniforms, no quarterback because Jameis Winston proved untenable, and just no hope. Like, didn't even feel like we were going anywhere. We're just treading water, and it was same old Bucks. Basically, the entire 20-teens were how many memories do you have of the period between 2010 and 2019 of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? I mean, just a non-factor, right? That's the biggest nightmare. I can deal with the hurt and the heartache. I just want to feel. And I would always, always, even if you get hurt, I just want to care. There's nothing more depressing than watching games because I'm never going to not watch a Bucs game. But like, hey, Bucs are 5-7 or 5-8. Okay, let's go watch the Bucs game. No, they're not making the playoffs, but you know, the Bucs are playing. I hate that, right? You just want something on the line, man. And so there have been things on the line every time the Bucs have taken the field, and there's going to be again, and that's my main hope. So to get more specific now, it's easy to want to win the division. How do they have to do it? Well, it always comes back to up front on both sides of the ball, and obviously one of the biggest questions with this team is the offensive line, given what happened last season. But looking at what they actually did on the offensive line, now that the dust has settled, preseason's over, certain injuries didn't heal, and we know these guys are out and other injuries have healed. We know our front five to start. Ali Marpet, sixth in pass blocking efficiency, has retired, okay? Shaq Mason, and I'm still a little worried, like, how did we get Shaq Mason for a fifth round pick? Like, why would a team just let us do that? Because it seems like that should be a steal. Shaq Mason was 14th, and this is, again, all offensive linemen, not even at just his, not a guard or not just the whole league, pass blocking efficiency, 14th. So I know that Shaq Mason's not going to play in the same exact spot that Ali Marpet was, but just in general, interior offensive line, you trade out Marpet, a guy who was 6th in pass block efficiency, you bring in a guy, Shaq Mason, who is 14th. That's not that bad. Nobody's replacing Ali Marpet straight up. He'll be missed very much. But that's a pretty good deal, assuming Shaq Mason is still at that level. Then, of course, you have Robert Hainsey, who the team drafted for a reason, who, by all accounts, looks like he's ready to go. He's not Ryan. Ryan Jensen, by the way, was 9th overall in pass block efficiency. So, yeah, you're not replacing that directly either. But you've got Hainsey in there instead. And then, of course, now at guard, at left guard, which is the actual spot that Marpet was at, it's Luke Getteke. Okay, fine. We'll have to see. His preseason was a mixed bag. Might be a little bit of a work in progress, but you got to go with what you got to go with. And Tom Brady has said he has the utmost confidence. The coaches seem to have the utmost confidence. But obviously that's a big, big deal for this team, considering in 2021 this offensive line allowed the fewest sacks in the NFL. They had the lowest sack percentage of any season in not talking about the Bucs now. The Bucs last year had the lowest sack percentage of any season in Tom Brady's career. He was more well-protected last year than any of the other 21 seasons he's played. And that makes a difference, okay? I know Tom Brady's good at getting rid of the ball quick. If there's going to be a quarterback who can deal with maybe not having just spick and span perfection up front, it'd be him. Nevertheless, you look at not just last year, but the Super Bowl season as well. Look at the Super Bowl highlight film, all that stuff. I mean, clean pocket, clean pocket, clean pocket. And it looked like in the one preseason game where all those guys played against Indianapolis, and it was only one series, it kind of looked like that again. You can't glean too much from that, of course, but it looked pretty decent, I'll say that. So obviously we'll get a much better look at that on Sunday night and going through the rest of the season. And then I guess the other thing just overall is injuries, which we just talked about with the offensive line, but that was kind of the big thing with last season. And the Bucs, they had pretty good injury luck in 2020 and winning the Super Bowl, but if you remember, they were 11-5 that year, and then last year, with horrible injury luck, they were 13-4, and they just didn't win the playoff game. Now, injuries were big in the playoff game with Wirfs, like we talked about. Of course, Godwin and Antonio Brown wasn't an injury. I think that was the most important loss, although it wasn't a physical injury. But either way, if they can come around this year with that, that'll be a big help. Of course, right now, and you know, by the time you listen to this, we might know more because I'm recording this on Thursday. But Chris Godwin has said earlier today he's a game-time decision. So there's probably not going to be much more coming out from that until it's time to go on Sunday night. And he was also talking a little bit in the press conference that they did after practice earlier. And he was listed as full go at practice. But he was talking about trying to weigh how much you want to play. And this goes back to what I said earlier in the show about, you know, when you only have one game to go on, you get so much excited about that one game. But, you know, he's got to weigh the whole season. He wants to be playing in November and December and obviously in January too. So right now, all we have is opening night. Everybody's geeked about opening night. Oh my God, week one, we're so ready. And yet, you've got to temper that a little bit because there are 17 games, there are 4 months. And so I would not be surprised if he doesn't play on Sunday. If he does, that'd be phenomenal, obviously. But if I had to guess, and this is just me saying this, I would think he doesn't. Of course, even he said he doesn't know. It's not like it's been determined and they're just not telling anybody. He just needs to see how he feels. It's a full 72 hours, or 48 hours from now. No, 72 hours. Today's Thursday. So, yeah, I mean, by then, things could be a lot different. Here's what I do think, though, and this goes for not just Sunday night, but for the whole season, too. I think we're sitting on a powder keg with Julio Jones, okay? I've talked to a lot of Bucs fans, both friends of mine and people listen to the show. Oh, Bobby, you know, Julio Jones, great pickup. It'll be cool for a few weeks till he's hurt in week five. Hey, that could happen. I mean, he's got a little bit of an injury history. He's a little bit older and all that stuff. I get it. But I think that people are sleeping on that addition. I think that's a huge addition. And particularly without Godwin, I think he's going to chow a little bit on Sunday night. If Godwin does play, I think he'll do well. But he's going to feature, okay? I mean, I'm fired up. And I think that's a major, major add. If I could have either him or Antonio Brown normal, or at least as close to normal as possible Antonio Brown, like Antonio Brown from 2020, basically, I would still choose Antonio Brown, okay? But that's a big deal to have Julio Jones over there. And forget about what the depth chart says. I know the depth chart I was looking at the other day, and he's technically listed as like number 4 or whatever. He's number 2 if Godwin's not there, okay? And I think they're going to go to him and go to him and go. And in particular, one, if Godwin doesn't play, and two, and Todd Bowles said this, you know, without Gronkowski now, that's a lot of offense that's gone. How do you replace that offense? It's not just going to go back to the next man up at tight end. I think the wide receiver position will just see more production. I think Julio Jones, for example, will see a lot of what would have been Gronkowski's catches, a lot of Gronkowski's touches and things like that. Cam Braid is great. Rudolph's great. Those guys will get a little bit. But I don't think, and Bowles even said it flat out. He's like, no, I think the wide receivers and even the running backs will get, you know, what used to be those touches that Gronkowski had. So we'll see. But I'm excited. I'm not a fantasy football guy much. I don't like to talk about it too much, but I did rejoin a league this year. And I drafted Julio Jones. One, because I don't care that much about the fantasy team. But two, you know, I want to root for him anyway. I think he's going to, like I said, I think he's going to put some numbers. I think he's going to get a lot of what, you know, would have gone around to both Godwin if he doesn't play and Gronkowski. And, of course, Mike Evans will get his too. But that's one of the things I'll be looking for both Sunday night and throughout the season. Now, as far as Sunday night goes, the injury report, every single Buccaneer is at least in the mix to play, except probably Zion McCollum with the hamstring. He's going to be a little while. But, you know, Godwin may not play, but he could. And the Bucs don't really have much else. A few guys had some veteran days. They took off of practice this week. But nobody's really that hurt, which they shouldn't be coming off of a bye week and not playing much in the preseason. So injuries look pretty good there. Like I said, Michael Gallup for Dallas is a little bit questionable. See how he's doing the next few days and things like that. But injuries shouldn't be that big of a deal. Bucks are going white pants with the red jerseys, which I vehemently am against. And I'm tired of them treating the white pants. They look like practice pants. I don't know why the pewter pants are not just completely across the board used 17. Whether it's white jerseys or it's red jerseys, it should not matter. The team should never wear white pants, ever. Unless it's, you know, the throwback, if they wear the orange jerseys. That's different. Look good with those. when you have darker colors like red and pewter, white doesn't go with it. It just doesn't work. So I don't know why they're obsessed with that, but that's where they're going on Sunday night. It'll be Tirico. It'll be Collinsworth. Melissa Stark is back on the sideline now after Michelle Tafoya left for whatever the what's the opposite of bigger and better things, I guess. It would be smaller and lesser things. So she's out. Melissa Stark's back on the sideline. And it'll be welcome. I didn't need any more of Tafoya, to be honest with you. And so it should be fun. It's going to be a chance, like I said, if you want to get people together, I'm going to try and do it. I'm going to try and either have people here, or I don't know what we're doing yet, but we're going to do something. Primetime games are always more fun. It's going to be exciting. And tonight, same thing. I'm looking forward to the Rams and the Bills tonight. And just all the little trappings of football season I'm so excited about. And I mentioned, you know, like the fantasy football thing. And I'm not going to talk about fantasy football on this show. I have not played fantasy football in over, man, I guess almost 25 years, if you can believe that. I remember being in high school, and it was a new thing back then. And my dad and my uncle were high school football coaches, and the coaching staff at Robinson High School had a league. And I was like seven, this is like 1997. And I remember being in that league, and we had a live draft at one of the coaches' houses, and we did all that stuff. And I joined them with my dad. We had a team together. And I remember, like, for example, Ben Coates was my tight end, if you want to know how long ago this was. But I didn't like what the culture of fantasy football. I didn't like people saying that, you know, they cared more about their fantasy team than their own team. I didn't like people saying they were Bucs fans. Oh, but I hope that, you know, Brett Favre has three touchdowns this weekend. The Bucs still win like 42-35, but I hope that Brett Favre... No, screw that. I hope Brett Favre has 8 interceptions. He's playing against my team. That is as far as it goes. So I got out of fantasy football. Like, again, I got out of it before it ever became big. I was already in and out before most people ever heard of it, because by the time it was 1998, I was done. And I didn't play again. I haven't played for 25 years. Had a buddy of mine, had a spot, so I took the spot this year. Okay, fine. And I'm still a little bit leery about it, but like I said, I'm not that into it anyway. It's just for fun. I'm not like, it's not big money, and I'm not going to get upset about it. What I will definitely get upset about are my survivor pool when I'm eventually eliminated from that, which is one of the worst days of the year, and my weekly bets, which will lead to unending frustration. And yet, as we get started, like I set up, like this is what I do for football season. This is why it's so different. I even got a little tab on my favorites tab, and I've got my, you know, I got a fantasy spot for it. I got my survivor pool website. I got my, you know, the weekly, all these little betting thing, you know, tips and things like that. I had to set all that up for the football season. And it's so fun. Like, I just love even doing all those little things, like getting ready for the season. I'm so excited for the Rams and the Bills later on. And by the time you're listening to this, that game will be over. So I can tell you I'm on the Bills big tonight. Love them giving anything less than a field goal. I feel like the Bills are going to come out. I feel like they're definitely a Super Bowl contender. I feel like the Rams, one, they're not as good as they were last year, and two, I feel like they were very fortunate last year. They got a Bucs team without three of their best players who also forgot how to play defense for the most critical series of the season, and then they got a Bengals team, which I think most people feel like the Bucs would have beaten as well. And so, you know, I just... It could be by the time you hear this, maybe the Rams won by 2 touchdowns for all I know, but that's where I'm at on that. But just, yeah, all the little things about it, like getting my buddies together for our picks league. We pick all the games against the spread, all 272 of them. We got that, you know, Survivor, all the different little things. So that's all going on, too. It's not too late for a fridge schedule. If you still want a fridge schedule, I've been sending a bunch of them out. Email me, bobbygameday@yahoo.com, BobbyGameDay, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. On Twitter, you can get me at bobbygameday if you want to message me there or follow me there. It's the same thing. Just click on it, email me, DM me, whatever. I'll send you the file. You print it out in color. I'm even going to post a picture of the one I have on the side of my fridge, which looks beautiful. I've been staring at it for a few weeks now, just getting ready for the season. And it's finally like actually going to happen now starting on Sunday night. So, you know, this is the best place anywhere for Bucs coverage. You can keep it right on Joe Bucs Fan all season long. And, you know, even during the offseason, that's true. I mean, Joe Bucs Fan's a 365-day-a-year website. And, in fact, there have been times the Joes have told me traffic's even been higher in the offseason than during the season. But now that we're in season, it's nice to be in the rhythm of the game week and, you know, have show come out on Thursday. I might even do it on Wednesday sometimes if the schedule works out. And then it gets you all the way through until the game's on Sunday. Hey, speaking of this weekend and Sunday, any day of the week, actually, if you're looking for a vehicle, whether it's brand new, whether it's pre-owned, whether it's a car, truck, or van, doesn't matter, go check out Bill Curry Ford, okay? It's, first of all, in person, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Huge lot, beautiful showroom. Everything is there. And they've got, like I said, more than just Ford truck. They got cars, trucks, vans, all kinds of makes and models. But first, go to the website. It's BillCurryFord.com. And remember, they spell it C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. Check out the inventory. You can see the completely transparent online, no haggle pricing. And if you want to go down there in person after that, go for it. If you want to have them deliver it to your house, even for a test drive, not even just to buy it. They'll just bring a car, if you're curious about it, to your home or office or wherever. Do that. Anything you get, you're covered under the unlimited nationwide lifetime warranty. If you buy a car at Bill Curry Ford, you don't have to ever worry about engine trouble. You don't have to ever worry about anything major because that's covered under the powertrain warranty. Just bring it back in. They will take care of it. It's one of the best deals going in automobile sales today. Also, the first year is free oil changes and all that stuff for the first month. You get 10 years roadside assistance as well. Check them out, BillCurryFord.com or a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. So with that said, thanks to them, thanks to the Joes for giving me this platform. I've even lost count. I don't even know how many seasons now I've been doing this. It feels like, I'm trying to think, because I remember it was before Jameis Winston, so I have to go back and, we don't keep records of these things. I don't have all my old shows. I feel like this is at least my eighth season doing a show here at JoeBucksFan.com. And honestly, you know, having used to have done sports talk radio full-time here in this town, and I miss doing that for sure, but to be able to do this has always been able to scratch that itch. And in particular, on this website, like I said, all the people that come to it for all the different reasons, just to have that platform is a privilege. I appreciate it from the Joes. And most of all, I appreciate it from you guys for listening and taking the time. So thank you very much. Enjoy the game on Sunday. It's going to be beautiful on Sunday night, wherever you are at home. I'm going to try and be out in the back patio. I think the rain might have cleared out by then. I know it's supposed to be a little bit of a rainy weekend. But wherever you are, man, have an excuse to get together. Call your buddies up. Have them come over to your house. Go to one of their houses. Do stuff like that, you know? That's what life's all about, and that's what makes it fun when you share it with other people. So hopefully, when we come back next week, we're talking about a 1-0 football team. In the meantime, thanks. Have a good, safe weekend. Have fun wherever you are. Good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.